say, this was from Party Board of Mayors, I can't remember when. The Party Board of Mayors were Grace, Fido, Play, Plastic, and Ship. I dig through the rubble, embedded deep inside, a camera player. My hand finds a shape, it's hard and covered with plastic. I grasp it. Through a swift crack, a tiny pool of light enters. I hold the object with great weight up to the light, the Bible, written in gold, standing steadfast on the cover. Within minutes, I hear the sounds of the block being played with, taken apart, calling out through a muffled room, my hand sweating, my soul begging silence. A hand reaches in and pulls me out. With a tearful face of dust, I look back to find a small space empty, full of dead decay, nothing left but our sound.
Thank you, Emory. Next up is going to be Celine, but I'm going to sound like a smoke. So instead it'll be John Ryan. John Ryan.
Thanks, nice sharp one tonight now, so just want to hear some more time then. Again, some of the stuff isn't titled yet, so provisionally it's just new stuff number 5. Wooding for an afternoon. Crack, snap, smash. Watching out for thorns and thistles that could scratch, tear, or bristle. Warmth in the air, trees parted like a gallery, some branches giving up without a struggle, others requiring the bandsaw so that we can retrieve enough for the campfire. Going through the body bits, squelch, slop, munch, slouching, bending, coming out again along the pack, breathing a bit quickly, dropping sticks intermittently. Waiting for the twilight, looking forward to the other's arrival. Being outside, away from the usual order. Coming to realize my size, little in the world of trees.
Thank you, John. Next up, on her last evening as Bard Senator, Celine McCarney.
I just hope this is there nice though. I've been a bartender for many a year, and I've spent all my wages on the scale beer. But now I'm retiring with no fortune or gain, and I don't know if I'll be a bartender again. I go to the pubs that I often frequent, and if I don't get another job, then my own money will be spent. I think of all the customers I've met along the way, and those who I've had to refuse because custom like theirs you don't want during the day. But through all my bartending days, I came across something which was great, and I must say, is the Great O'Veil Night that we all attend every Monday.
Celine will be on the other side of the bar from next week on.
Hey!
Next up to the mic, we have Bree Becky.
Okay, this is called Cube. There must be another you somewhere. Your cutting edge softens a little. A cube with 6 sides, 6 versions. 6 roads that could have been taken, or maybe even more. But I must leave this bike still vertical, box up my boxing gloves with my club fist. They got that way from prolonged tension, you know, holding it all in so you'd not sleep at 6. I must walk away, not check your wounds for bleeding while my cavity is still and I drown in my blood. Cage collapse, cavern convulsed, dull pulse, and the induced coma of your presence enshrouds me. You are not me, but merely a perspective I got used to seeing from. So much so that I called it my own. Seats in the classroom haven't always been issues. Ill-fitting glasses never replaced. A room that is too small for me to stand up in. My heart has a hallway in which your portraiture was mounted. Pictures and pictures of you all in a row, some of them moving images. But I've called for a little man. This exhibition of you must come to an end. I'm looking for new perspectives. A house that rings not only the four ways, a song with verses, not a repeated chorus. 666. Devil in the details, devil in the retails, devil in the females, devil in the males, devil in my failure at alchemy, words won't lead to gold. There must be another me somewhere, my cutting edge sharpened a little, filled with six sides, six versions, six roads that can be taken, or maybe even more. In the cloudy corners of my mind. Only in the cloudy corners of my mind may you reside, a Cheshire Catholic system, fantastical. Only in the cloudy corners of my mind, far from the sentimental peaks where we were once displayed with pride, fanatical. Only in the cloudy corners of my mind may you lie, among the broken mirrors, bottle tops, and noontide memories, historical. But alas, I wake with you in dreams in the cloudy corners of my mind, and the proportions you assume there are mythological, indomitable, unfathomable in the cloudy corners of my mind.
Thank you, Leslie. And next up to the mic we have Mr. Seamus Harrison.
A young lady with ardor to quell caused some Tories to feel so unwell. She was having it off with the spy Ivanov and Johnny Perfumo as well. Try a bit of toes. The waiter. There she sits, just as he knew she would, surrounded by empty stretches of sand. He knows he's over an hour early. The running mooring is high and dry, but he had allowed for that too. Donning his new boots, he slung on a small canvas lunch sack and set off, leaving the seagull outboard in the van. The flood tide is only starting. His fishing gear is already aboard the Faithful, swinging at the mouth of the cove. What a find this secluded spot had been. The day is too good to waste. He'd stroll to the tender and slide her to meet the sea, launch and be aboard in no time. 15 fathoms out in the flat, his left leg sinks into a soft patch. That's strange, he slightly amused. Carefully, he probes forward. No, not firm enough. He's too long at this game to get reckless. Next, one step back onto his free right foot. Take the floor and mind the dresser. Not firm, change. But down it sinks also. Okay, let's see now. Rotate this one. Yes, he can, but it only loosens to deepen. He tries to lean across to his last clear footprint. He struggles and staggers onto his side. This is very embarrassing. An armada of leisure and commercial craft will now be plowing flying just out of sight beyond Blackball. Hopefully none will call by for a sheltered spot of cooking. Too fine. Such a ribbing he'd get. Here comes Stick in the Mud Pat the Sea Lancer. Time to change tack. First lose the right boot somehow. His arming birthday socks are a snug fit. A small darts of panic. Sing out. A scattered gull shrieks and protests. Wait. No, listen. No. Nothing. Twisting, urgently waving, horror-struck pictures in the gut, how quickly the creek fills in. Why didn't he follow his mooring line running from the shore? Oh, to be a flamingo. His mind drifts back to a painting he had seen at the big house. A red-coated captain sat on a stone fence, surrounded by a swirl of foxhounds. a melee of horses, most with riders already aboard, impatiently snorting clouds of mist. A manservant straddles and struggles with the captain's right boot, tugging hard. What was that picture called? The water is so clear, until it reaches the black, muddy quicksand. A waiter tiptoes past with barely a glance. Boots are full now, but of course, he knows there is no escape. Yet he's calling hoarsely and listening. If I could reach my bag, get a drink of water. Heart pounding, he scoops with both hands, but only turns up more goo. He's more upright now, but up to his waist in mud, arms in water. There should be a large bottle of lured water aboard still, next to a small shot of bootleg hooch. A surge of anger, a bellow of fury at his own silly mistake. This godforsaken hold. The VHF aerial beckons idly from the wheelhouse. So near, yet so far. Head clear again, the estimate coolly now. About 3 minutes at best. I'll never again mock those newfangled rubber dinghies. No. Let there be no panic unless it's organized. With each passing moment, an update. It will be less than two. I must be losing my touch, he muses. No, the tides are making now. Okay. Time to make my peace. Still checking his watch between tiny waves. But first, if I could only remember the name of that lovely painter. If only.
And next up we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Paul. Nice to be talking. The point of the poem called Diptych is it's derived from our terminology as two pictures as two of complement each other, but also two opposite. So, try to do this in problems as a poem. Always on my mind, a perfect everything, is this one here. In all its glory, I'm welcomed in all parts. In every room I can know them, any time I can stop for coffee. This is the brink on which I'm pleased, bound by chances, but I admit you of this simple thing. After the night is over and done with, the bomb sips as predicted, but hopefully procrastinated. There's a word that was insulted in other days and nearly spoken. And where is this one that, up to now, was my only defense, walking the skies, lost my mom, and awaiting mortality on the horizon?
Patricia. And next up we have Mr. Aaron Lewis. I read this poem, I think it was 3 weeks ago. It's actually mine, but it's a friend of mine, and he unconsciously inspired me to write poetry a few years ago. It's called Laurie the Low Lion, the Low Lion. And it's dedicated to him. Because my friend reads this in East London accent, but I can't do it very well. People just hate me. I love it, but there you got enough feeling yourself. People just hate me. It's always the same, constantly judging me through the bars. I should get up and eat and tend to my man,
but I simply can't be arsed. And that I've got my ingrown toenails. No doubt I'll be tranquilized. They'll fire it from their guns. Every day they bring meat. What a surprise. And I've got the run. All I've ever known is this enclosure. They wonder why I do not stir. Oh, look, more meat. Told you. And I've got great fur. The monkeys in their cages that I fed, they mock every single day. They've got a pond and ropes and lots of space. Me, I've just got clay. Night times are the worst. I just look up at the sky and think of the freedom up there. These people must be stupid. Do they really not know why I just lie and eat and stare? One thing I do that baffles many a warder is I arrange my meat in order of size. They call it obsessive compulsive disorder. A lion with OCD? I mean, are you having a giraffe? Just because I go all panicky if they don't see the smallest for last. Not another thing I've got to worry about, but I dream of female company. A wild savanna beneath the stars, where I can run and truly be free. But instead, all I see is bars. So the next time you're at my zoo, and you see me in my cage, put yourself into my shoes and feel the emptiness and rage. Or maybe chuck some fruit at me into my prison cell. I am Laurie the Low Lion, probably with OCD as well. I saw a film about 6 weeks ago now. It was a film about Joy Division, the band, Manchester band. And I'd never knew much about Joy Division. I'd heard about them, and then I heard that New Order came from Joy Division and stuff, and heard some of the songs, but never really knew that much about them. The documentary was very, very strong, as in it could take anybody who, even if you didn't know much about the band, could really step into that era, and I really enjoyed it. So I wrote a poem for what I felt from watching it. From shadows he stood, his grey-white eyes looking into the abyss of his soul. A poetic rearranger lost in a man's human cityscape. Writing out meaning and playing your notes is only escape. From dusty factory floors to world stages, the light shone on you. Epileptic attack, not holding you back. A dance that entranced us all. Through your pain you saved us and inspired our hearts. Thank you. Your love will tear us apart.
And next up we have Ellen Kogut.
Thanks. We'll start with some words by Rumi. Today, like every other day, we wake up empty and frightened. Don't open the door to the study and begin reading. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty we love be what we do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. And this is one of my own I wrote just the weekend. Bang, bang, din and crash, smash that bower on into the sun, the stunning beat wound round the seas, and people move, propelled by the bang, bang, din and crash, the psyche melts under the smash of bower on into the sun and sea. Leaves barely a stir become like petals, falling, falling into me. The sea is crashing in noisy din, we scatter before this lazy isle wakes up. With a crash, bang, din and crash, smash their bureaucratic dreams. Era awakes from her slumbering sleep. Our leaders will have to listen now to the crash, bang, din and crash, the beat of a people beaten up and beating up under the sun of a democracy. come back from your complex bureaucratic scheme to the simple beat of a baron or your heart. And I just finished with the love one. This is called We Don't Need Love. We don't need love. Love is for broken people. And I have kissed your every nook and cranny, and you are not broken. And nor am I. We have entered happier times. The space where everything is right. We are not compromised by the dark doings of the night outside the window. And I am a window of love and life, and your calm body in the night. We live perpetually in the light. And I am not broken. My wounds have protected me only, and ceased bleeding. And I can kiss your every wound, and bring the love and pain crashing back. Soon we will need love again, but for now we are already in heaven.
Thank you, Alan. Next up, someone who hasn't been here for ages, great to see him back, Mr. Chris Collins.
Alan finished with a love poem there, so I'll start with a love poem. But it's not really a love poem, it's kind of a precursor to what could possibly be a love poem, I suppose. It's about initially meeting somebody. It's called intimacy. Light masters, druids of destiny to fulfill unknown prophecies, pawn puppets to watch the sun unravel and dance with caudality, lock snares painted pristine, tumbling from the neck to valleys below. Along twisted lines, the tree melts, blind to the twist, the menace in the scent. The web woven is bright white gold, fingertips with silver. Watchful eyes penetrate the structure, playing with possibility. Night moving, the position not yet compromised. Vibrating air, merging emotions, star-speckled blindness, the bliss of devotion. I just wrote this the other night, I don't know, sometimes when I sit down to write, I just try and, well, the first thing that popped into my head, I try and go with that, just to save overthinking something. And what popped into my head was my junior and even sort of coordinate geometry math. You know, if you remember, slope of line, equation of line, all that kind of cable. So it might lose you a little bit, I have to look a bit of it up, but it's got a kind of an existentialist twist to it as well, so if you can follow me, stay with me. Arithmetic complete. Intersection point, a constant crossroads. The equation of the invisible timeline, exhaustively calculated a moment too late. The slippery slope, forever attempting to beckon. Bright and cheerful, the rainbow curves a grin. Perfect prism to personify the light through which we perform. That brilliant web stares at the sun, ever fading. Beauty and choice ignite the ambiguity of being. The authentic possibility solidifies the essence bled. Two more short poems. This poem is untitled. I can't find a title to fit it properly. It's very personal to me. I suppose I'll have to tell you some of the background so you can try and understand it. I was adopted as a child. I was adopted by my real mom is my aunt now, so I'm technically living with my aunt and uncle, but they're my mother and my father because they raised me. I don't know if that loses me. It's like a medical affair or something, but this is, I've been trying to write something about it for years, and this is the best I can come up with at the moment, so it's untitled. With the night counted vigilance, the labor of truth is destined. Troubled and weary, the herald dismounts, no firefly moon speckling the sky. Among thoughtful trees, the raven resides. Writing desk cousins make mad hatters insist on their own dismay and inherited countenance. Tea for three, and best not to mention the war. Glass house mistress scattered the past, calling mountain ranges to sleep. deep in concentrated revelry, the bastard counts blessings one by one. And this is called a myth, which is just pointing backwards, basically. So make it what you will. Draining the hourglass of the sands of time, poking holes in existence, the Sphinx lays naked in a vast nothingness. Sandblasted elegance, harnessed by Cartier, delivered with diamonds, nothing is forever. Sunrise to sunset, the day only begins and is wasted away. No time to delay the inevitable, the clock always strikes at the same time. So I suck the early morning hours dry for their life-giving wine. I dull the sun, taste the tone of restlessness, divide tides and sleep through forgetfulness. The day ceases, hides among the stars at nightfall, dissolving petal flowers to nothing at all. Thank you.
Give me one there, two, three. Thank you, Chris. Next up to the mic, we have Joe Harding. Joe.
Bells are rung on time, a priestly insistence, and you wait for God up at the next election. Even daffodils have their moments of splendor, fall with grace, leave their seeds of silent sadness. Here are we watching rain feeding thistles, passing time, crying to their madness. We are blooded daffodils without our moments, and that has nothing to do with Harry Coulter. Blood red moon. It's called the moon, and I come home one night into blood red, and I got the impression of known men. All was there being set up, looking at us. Blood red night, a blood red light came from the night. Was it a dying moon? Oh, so tired of lighting up our gloom, wanting soon to take good flight. It was a dying moon. No thanks at that. No response. Was it a lying moon? Taken for granted, sometimes unwanted, spiteless hands. It was a dying moon. Still tomorrow it shall light a dying day into a night. Thanks.
Thanks, Earl. Next up we have Sean Irving back here. Sean Irving.
Really?
No, sorry,
I'm not letting you get this. You're right.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Next up, we have a newcomer for the first time ever to our panel, Mr. Alan Tiffy.
Lord as well as usual, I think. These are two very, very short stories, and they're both very political. The first one is called Ears, which goes like this. There was a soldier who fought in the great wars in defense of civilization and democracy, and sent the ears of his dead enemies home to his friends. They thought they were dried apricots because they were a bright yellow and orange color. They ate them. They were, depend upon it, disgusted and horrified, and more than ever concerned when they learned the truth. That is because they were, after all, nice white people with a good, clean, liberal conscience. That did not mean, however, that they did not enjoy them, nor find them exceedingly delicious. The other one is called The Third World. There's a lot of sociologists out there trying to explain why the world is as it is, and why some people are poor and some people are rich. And this explains it all in a very short number of words, The Third World. There was a rich man and a poor man. The poor man had to carry the rich man around on his back. They went here, there and everywhere. They went uphill and down dale. They met Tom, Dick and Harry, and Rothschilds and Rockefellers and O'Reillys. The poor man slept in the cardboard city created by the rich, and the rich man slept in the glitzy hotel built by the poor. But every morning, the same sun shone on the rich man's face under the poor man's bum. The rich man dug his heels into the poor man's neck in order to feel more comfortable. The poor man wrapped the rich man's ankles around his chest in order to feel more safe. Whenever they saw anything valuable or useful on their journey around the world, food or jewels or oil or riches or minerals or fish, the rich man would kindly ask, "Hey, why don't you pick that up and I will carry it for you?"
Thank you, Alan. Is there anyone else for the upper mic tonight? No one? No? Then it's an amusing artifact. This river of kingly colour, an opulent delight, this stream of perpoesy, has even evolved vampires overdosed on blends of rich, thick contradiction, of unravelled breaths expired, and even as muses. Pilgrim season's muses each leave a trail of purple dripping from tongue and teeth, a new harvest of mystery. And even as starved poets sip the mountain manna, purple poem wine, dream-drunk poets pulse deafened to send purply their season lips. Thank you, and see you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.